Well, go ahead and open up to John 16, and you can be putting a marker in Acts chapter 8, I believe that is. Yep. No, 9, Acts 9. Because this morning we're in John 16, where he is specifically talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of truth. And we got quite a bit in this morning. But I feel like he wants tonight to give a little more information about the Spirit of truth and how he has not come to replace the Lordship of Jesus. In other words, the Holy Spirit really is not our Lord. What is our confession? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the head of the church. But now, how we receive our instruction from him is by the agency of the Holy Spirit. If we'd lived in the time of the Gospels, and you know, you hear from his lips to your ear, you know, just you'd hear and you'd go do. But now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, but it's really expedient. It's better for us that that happened, because now we don't have to be in his physical geographical location to hear him. You can be anywhere, because the Holy Spirit is omnipresent and he can bring us the mind of Christ. So the verse that I'm talking about that is verse 13, John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Boy, now right here we could just do whole seminars based on the teachings of our pastor Dave Roberson. We could go to 1 Corinthians 14. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. And Dave stops there. Now, how many of you think, well, that's going on, you're explaining mysteries to God? No, God is explaining mysteries to you. We could go on, we could just go on and on about the Spirit of truth. But what I specifically think he wants to talk about tonight is this lordship. How does he bring the lordship of Jesus to us? Because the next thing he says, he will guide you into all truth. Well, thank God for our pastor who has taught us so much about that. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Now, again, from this morning, every time that, if you want to know the truth of it, every time you hear and obey the Lord Jesus Christ, you are glorifying him. You really are. He said to the Father, I have glorified you on the earth. Well, how did he do that? He said, I want you to keep my commandments and abide in my love the same way I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So he says, I have done everything that the Father said for me to do. I didn't consult my own will. I did according to his will. Well, the Holy Spirit is to bring us the mind of Christ. And as we lay aside our will, this is laying down your life, and we obey the mind of Christ, his will, then we're glorifying him on the earth. His will is being accomplished, which is always the will of the Father. So let's see some examples of how this works. So go over now to Acts chapter 9. And this is the chapter where Saul, before he is the Apostle Paul, when he gets converted, he sees the, who art thou? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, and what would you have me do? And we've taught on that many times, and we'll pick it up in verse 8, Acts 9:8, Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blind for a season. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Oh, we're in the first quarter. What is that called? Oh, fasting. I just thought I'd make sure we all saw that. Three days without eating or drinking. Now, look at verse 10 now. Look at verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Let's stop for a moment. Is he an apostle? Is he a prophet? Maybe. But all we know for sure, he's a certain disciple. He, as far as we know, he's Joe Public. He's not Mary Wallpaper, since his name is Ananias. He's Joe Public. But, you know, I mean, we're not told this guy has no office that we know of. You know, it's a believer. It's a believer. And to him said the Lord, now if you underline, in a vision. The Lord didn't physically walk in. He could have. He physically walked into the room where the disciples were. And that's my understanding. He could still do that if he chooses to. I mean, I don't know why he couldn't, you know. He walked through the wall. I love that. He walked through the wall, ate a fish, walked back through the wall, and the fish didn't slide down the wall. I do not understand that at all. I mean, I'm looking forward to finding out how that works, okay? But see, the way the Holy Spirit, and you'll see this all through the book of Acts especially, where in a vision, Jesus appears and he talks with Paul and he talks with Peter and he talks with different ones. And sometimes, though he doesn't appear, sometimes we'll see another one here in a little bit, and the Spirit said, the Holy Ghost said, that type of thing. But the leadership is coming from the head of the church. The Holy Spirit has not come to replace the lordship of Jesus. He has come to bring us the lordship of Jesus. Well, here's Joe Public, a guy named Ananias. He's just called a disciple. And to him, I love this, said the Lord in a vision. Now, how did that vision come? That's the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Ghost. Yan Ji Cho, years ago, I read his book, The Fourth Dimension. I loved it. And he said one thing he had learned, the language of the Holy Ghost is visions and dreams. And I have found that to be the case. He also has a voice. You can hear him. But the longer that I've been in this, the more the leadership comes now by pictures. It comes by little movies. It comes by, and with a voice very often. Okay. So this is part of the ministry of the Spirit of Truth. The same thing could happen with you before you get home tonight. Same thing with everybody listening and watching. You had the same Holy... There isn't but one Holy Ghost. There isn't but one Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church, and the Holy Ghost, his job is to bring you the mind of Christ. And there's many ways that it comes. Dave has taught us it can come by a vision. It can come by a dream. It can come by voice. It can come by just one minute you didn't know, and the next minute you do know, and you don't really know how you know, but you know that you do know. It can come by revelation, you know. Well, this one was a vision, and he called him by name. Do you know the Lord knows your name? It says Ananias, and he said, notice he said, I think out loud. That's happened to me before. Remember, I was coming back from Florida and on this side of Birmingham driving that rental car, and I had been praying about a car. But I was thinking about buying a smaller car because gas prices then were almost $4 a gallon. And I heard just as clear as you're hearing my voice. One sentence. Your next car is a town car. And like Ananias, I said, really? It was so real, I spoke out loud. That's what's happening here. He said, behold, I'm here, Lord. Yes, and actually that's in italics. He says, yes, behold, Lord. That sounds about right. And the Lord said unto him. Now notice, though, in a vision. This is all coming by the agency of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is bringing him the very mind of Christ. In this case, by a vision. Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Now, boy, now listen, the Holy Ghost can bring you detailed information. Detailed. The new nature doesn't really do that. The new nature really is more like a compass. It is your green light, red light. This is okay. That's not okay. Conscience. You know how your conscience is. Okay. That's the voice of the new nature. But the Holy Spirit, he can bring you precise, detailed information. In another vision in this same book, when he appeared to Peter on the rooftop, the last thing he says, oh, there's three men downstairs. I want you to go downstairs and go with them. What do you think? If Peter was at all human like the rest of us, what's he thinking on the way down? I wonder if there's really three men there. Open the door. Three men. One time, this is sidebar a little bit, just to illustrate this. That's pretty. Go to a street, which is, let's see, go into the street which is called Straight. inquire in the house of Judas. That's pretty detailed. For one called Saul of Tarsus. He has no other backup information that Saul of Tarsus is actually going to be there. He may not even know that Judas lives on the street called Straight. But he's going to go anyway. You learn that voice. You learn to follow that. I was going to say one of my favorite ones, there was a man in Australia. Now, this is probably, see, I've been here 20 some odd years. This is probably 15 years ago. 15 years ago. And this man in Australia, who at one time had sat under the ministry of Dave Roberson and really appreciated his ministry, he got into some trouble down there. And he wanted to get a hold of Dave. But he's in Australia. And Dave's in America. He'd lost track of the ministry. He didn't know how to get a hold of Dave. Didn't know what to do. And he's going, God, I don't know what to do. How do I get a hold of Dave Roberson? And he says, in the sky, to him, numbers began to appear. He called that number. And on the other end of the phone, it said, Dave Roberson Ministries. The Holy Ghost can bring you precise, detailed information. Amen? So, inquire for Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. And he hath seen, in a vision. Now see, this vision thing's going on both ends of this deal. The same Holy Spirit has appeared to Paul, at this point, Saul, to let him know what to expect. So this Saul, he has already seen in a vision a man named Ananias. We used to go to this other church a long time ago. It was a Spirit-filled church long before we started here. And this pastor, he's a good pastor. If I said his name, you'd know him. He's a good guy. And he says, you know, one thing about it, people are always being led by the Holy Ghost. They come here, they get an appointment with me. And they always say the Holy Ghost told them they're supposed to come and I'm supposed to give them money. And he says, it's the strangest thing. The Holy Spirit didn't tell me you were coming. Now see, in this, there's scripture for that. Here, Anna, he told Saul Ananias was coming. I just liked it. Saul, hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in. And putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered. I wonder if he said it out loud. I have heard by many of this man. How much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests. To bind, and that means to arrest, all that call on thy name. Now see, I like when I meditate this, I'm trying to put myself in that position. It'd be like before Osama was killed. Behold, Gary, you've been seeking my will. I'm sending you to lay hands on a man named Osama bin Laden. That's about how dangerous Saul was. Okay? And you know, I think Gary would, we read this in the King James and it's all nicey nice, but I think Gary would have said, Lord, are you sure? Hey, do you know? Have you heard about Osama? Did you ever hear of 9-1-1? Have you ever heard about the towers, Lord? What? Lord, did you know about this Saul of Tarsus? Are you sure? He can arrest me. And take me back to Jerusalem and I could be on trial. And I think Stephen's already been stoned. Yeah. You know, he had Stephen stoned to death, Lord. Are you sure? But the Lord said unto him, now in a vision, remember, in a vision, this is all going on by the Spirit of truth. Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Well, thank God Ananias obeyed the Lord. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, now see, to me this just takes such faith. He doesn't know anything other than what the Lord has shown him. All he knows is this guy's dangerous. He arrests Christians. He has them killed. And the Lord, the faith of these people, I'm going to do it. And notice what he calls him. He believed what the Holy Ghost said. Brother Saul. Brother Saul. Brother Osama. I'm trying to make it real. Brother Hitler. That would be another case. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody that dangerous to believe what the Holy Ghost said to the point you go in, Brother Saul. The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. He's already a believer. He's already a believer now. I don't know who you are, but whoever you are Lord. That'll get it done. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he received meat, he was strengthened in with Saul certain days with the disciples, which were there at Damascus, and we could go on. Now, what's amazing, as far as I can tell, we never read about Ananias again. This was not the beginning, how did Alan put that? This was not the beginning of Disciple Ananias Ministry International. I'm sure anyone that's obedient, I'm sure the Lord used him. But it's not recorded for us, as far as I know, in the book of Acts. Hey, it doesn't matter whether you become famous. It doesn't matter whether you have a giant ministry. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. What matters when we stand before him is, did you do what he asked you to do? Was he able to live his lordship through you? You got to remember, Jesus himself has no hands on earth to lay hands on anybody except through his body. And in this case, he chose Ananias. And it's just a disciple. He's not an apostle. I've often wondered why he didn't choose an apostle. They were around. Some things I don't know that we'll ever know until we get there. Come on to chapter 16 for a moment. Now this one is another one of my favorite examples of the leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. But he's not replacing the lordship of Jesus. He is bringing us the lordship of Jesus. Paul. This time it's Paul and Silas, and they had been going around doing various work, and they had finished their assignment, and they didn't really know what to do next. So picking it up in Acts 16, verse 6, and forgive me ahead of time for mispronouncing these names. I'm sure I will. Hey, you try and come down here and pronounce Tahlequah. I can always tell when they hire a new weatherman. Yes, we have a cold front moving through Tahlequah. Or Pottawatomie County. You know, they have a Potawatu. Well, they have trouble with our names. I have trouble with these names. It's okay. So now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Well, I remember when that sentence right there set me back. Because, see, I was raised Southern Baptist. Thank God for the Southern Baptist. Thank God for them. They're more evangelistic than most Pentecostals. I mean, they're not ashamed to share the word, the ones that I grew up around, you know. But for them, it's always, I have word for that. I have chapter and verse, and that's a good place. It's okay. But see, my thinking at the time was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Don't I have chapter and verse for that? Isn't Asia in the world? I have chapter and verse. What do you mean? The Holy Ghost forbid him to preach the word in Asia. Well, I've grown up a little since then. He spent 2 years there later. It's really Ephesus is where he's talking about here, the chief city in Asia. But there is a, what I've learned is there's a timing to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a timing that he wants done. He is alive and well. And to just take it upon ourselves, okay, I have a chapter and verse, and so I'm going to do this. And by the way, I'm a pastor. How do you know? Because I am. I just, you know, decided I am. And, you know, or I'm an evangelist or whatever. No, no, no. All of that comes by way of the Holy Ghost. You don't get to choose your calling. You'll find out your calling through your time spent with the Holy Ghost. That's how you'll find it out. If you don't spend time with the Holy Ghost, you'll always be guessing. That's what I did for years. And I know that I know. You know I would have wound up pastoring a little church somewhere because it's the only pattern that I knew. If the Holy Ghost, through all that time spent praying, he hadn't told me one day, no, you're a teacher, you're not a pastor. Well, okay, getting back to this. So they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. So does that mean the Holy Ghost is now their Lord? No, the Holy Ghost forbid it because Jesus forbid it. He didn't want them to go right then. Hey, God wanted to raise Lazarus from the dead. Well, actually, God, let's say it a different way. God wanted to heal Lazarus. Okay? But there was a timing for that. If Jesus would have gone right when they first came, they were lying in wait to arrest him. It would have been trouble, you know? So, you know, there's a timing. He had to wait until Lazarus died and the people dispersed and then go heal Lazarus. How did they heal him? By raising him from the dead? What does it matter as long as you get healed? So there's a timing. See that? The Holy Ghost in this case, he said the Holy Ghost forbid it. Well, okay. After they were come to Mysia, they assayed. They were assaying is like an old, like a mining term, you know, when you bring in the gold, they assay it. So to assay something means to weigh in the balance. So they're weighing in the balance. Well, what should we do? Okay, the Holy Ghost said don't go to Asia. So they assayed to go down into Bithynia. I've meditated on this. I've thought about this. Now here's Paul and Silas around a campfire. They don't know what to do next. They finished their assignment. They were going to go to Asia, but the Holy Ghost forbid that. So I can just see them. They're around a campfire at night talking. Well, what are we going to do next? I don't know. Silas, you know, I'm just making this up now. Silas. Paul, you ever been to Bithynia? I was down there one time. I'm telling you, ain't nothing but a bunch of heathens. If anybody on God's earth needs the gospel, it's them Bithynians. I bet that's where we're supposed to go. How about we go to, let's assay, let's weigh in the balance. What do you think about us going to Bithynia? But notice, the Spirit suffered them not. Why did the Spirit suffer them not? Because Jesus suffered them not. The Holy Spirit is simply bringing them the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And we're all like that. There's a lot of times I go, well, what do you want me to do next? And sometimes the deafening is silence. And sometimes the silence is deafening. I knew there was something wrong with that sentence right there. Sometimes the silence is deafening, not the deafening is silence. Okay. I'm going, wait a minute. Wait. Well, what do you do? That's called waiting on God. I'd rather wait and get it right than go make a mess on from my own mind and have to spend 5 years cleaning it up. Just wait. Just wait. It's called waiting on God. At my website, there's one of the face-to-face. It's got that title. And he says the art of waiting on God has been lost to this generation. Don't know anything about waiting on God. We're the instant generation. You know, I remember when we used to have to cook the food. Now we stand in front of the microwave and yell, hurry, you know. Instant this and instant that. But there's a waiting on God. It's good to wait on the Lord. So, the Spirit suffered them not. So, verse 8, they, passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Oh, thank God. Now say it, notice again. What is it? It's a vision. The language of the Holy Ghost is visions and dreams. A vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, you see this vision, here's this man, and in the vision the man speaks and says, come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul's a pretty smart guy. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. See, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm not the quickest guy around. But I figure if I don't know what to do and I don't know where to go next, and the Lord in a vision by the Holy Ghost shows me a man of Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. I think even I would get that. I think I would get that. I think you would get that. And the point I'm trying to make is, these kind of things is where those phrases come that I use all the time. He is smarter than we are dumb. He can get it down in detail for you. With Ananias, go to a street called Straight. Inquire at the house of Judas for a man named Saul. I mean, that's pretty detailed. And here, well, we got all these cities we could go to, all these places. Well, out of all of them, I want you to go to Macedonia. Holy Spirit. Jesus is alive and well. One of the reasons, again, that it is expedient, it is better for us that he left to be with the Father, is that we do not have to be in his geographical proximity in order to hear our instructions from his physical lips to our physical ears. No, the Holy Spirit now is how we hear him. And it's not just dependent on audio. It can be video. It can be a vision. It can be a dream. It can be by voice. So many ways. But I do not recommend, what do you call those? I do not recommend fleeces. Fleeces were valid in the Old Testament where the people did not have the Holy Ghost themselves. Okay? But no, our level, our accountability to walk is higher than fleeces in these days. One minister said, you try to be led by fleeces and you're going to get fleeced. And I have found that to be, yes, I have put out a couple of fleeces in my life. What were they? They are none ya. But they did validate what that man said, I'll tell you right now. Let's come on a little bit more. Show you how precise detail. Come over into this same chapter to verse 25. Now, you know what happened? They led Lydia's family to the Lord, and they cast the devil out of that fortune-telling girl, and that made the businessman really mad. And then they wound up being put in prison and beaten, and they're in the stocks and with their backs bloody. And at midnight, verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas whined and complained and murmured to the Lord, why, God, why? No, they had remembered the words of the Lord Jesus that we talked about this morning. If they persecuted me, they are going to persecute you. If they kept my word, they're going to keep your word. They remembered. They didn't whine and complain. See, we've been so babied in America that we think persecution is unusual. But in the history of the church at large, persecution is normal. That is normal. Okay. Better not be. But he's getting us ready so we don't be offended. What was the other word? Annoyed. It's way worse than annoyed. Annoyed is when they say something that you don't like. Offended is when they got a sword at your throat. Okay? If you don't reject Jesus. Okay. So at midnight, but I still want you to see this leadership. I want to see how detailed this is. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and, oh, I love this verse, and sang praises unto God. And they weren't doing it silently. Said the prisoners heard them. Man. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Now the doors are open. Today we'd say the handcuffs fell off. There's the open. There you go. You can skedaddle if you want to. And see, me, I'm just knowing, you know, our normal tendency, I would be remembering Peter, who was in prison. And they were going to execute Peter. You remember what happened? An angel came. Peter was asleep. He had smacked him on the side. Wake up. As they're going out of the prison, it says the doors opened on their own. I want to see a movie of that someday. Isn't that good? I'd be remembering that. Ha! The prison, the earthquake, doors open, handcuffs off, we are out of here. But watch the leadership. Watch this now. So the doors are opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Well, that's what you would expect. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he, that's the keeper of the prison, he called for a light. Now, get this. They don't have flashlights. What did they bring? They brought a torch of some kind. Okay? Now, get the picture. It's dark. It's midnight. There's don't have any electricity. Okay? The cells are dark. And here comes this man holding a torch. I'm walking towards the camera on purpose. He's got a torch. His face is lit up. And he's coming into the cell where Paul and Silas are. You got the picture? His face is visible because he's holding a torch. He's got a light. Now watch this. He called for a light and sprang and came in trembling. And he fell down right in front, right before Paul and Silas. There he is with that torch in his face. You could see it. Now why is that so important? See, for years I wondered why didn't Paul leave? Why didn't Paul leave like Peter did? Why didn't he leave when those wouldn't anybody think it's time to go? Now, hold your place right there. Back up. Let's look at that vision again. Look at verse 9 of chapter 16. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. One day it dawned on my lightning quick mind. There stood a man. Not any man. A man in this vision. Paul and Silas in prison, and the earthquake comes and the doors are open and the handcuffs fall off. I'm meditating now. Silas hits in the ribs. We're out of here. Paul says, no, not yet. I have not yet seen the man. I haven't seen the man that God showed me. And when that jailer come in with that light and kneeled right down in front and Paul saw the face, I bet you he looked at Silas and winked. That's the man. That's why we're here. Now let's keep looking. Verse 29. Before I leave that, how precise is that? How precise is that leadership? We settle for too low. We get vague. How does Dave tell that joke? You know, the guy was praying and praying what to do, what to do, what to do, and he heard the word China. So he sold everything he had, got his family, his wife. They all moved to China. He spent 3 years there, never led one person to Jesus. His wife got sick and died. His children got sick and died. He comes back to America. He goes, "Why, God? Why did you send me to China?" And finally, he hears the Lord through the Holy Ghost. And the Lord says, "I never intended for you to go to China. It was your anniversary. I wanted you to buy your wife some China." We settle for way too low. We get one. We don't know how to wait on the Lord. It's become a lost art. But I'm telling you, we are coming into a time, and this, you're part of the group. You have, God's not had you all these, God's not had you here all these years. For I felt led. Now, I felt led is better than nothing. Can you tell this is a lot more precise leadership than I felt led? And he, bleeding from his back and in the prisons, he goes, no. How sold out to Jesus is Paul? I'm not leaving. That's not, I haven't seen the man. I'm not leaving until we see him. And look how important it is. Verse 29, then the jailer, he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food, meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his heart. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeants, and we could keep going. Do you know who this is? This is in Macedonia. Come over to the book. Philippi is called the chief city of the Macedonians. Go over to the book of Philippians for just a moment. This is my first closing. Philippians chapter 4. This is the start of the Macedonian church. This is the beginning. Lydia, her household, and this jailer, this is the beginning, and his house. This is the foundation. This is the start of the Philippian church, the Macedonian church. Now, look what he says about them, about this Macedonian church. He says a lot of things about them, not just here. To the Corinthians, he said, I have robbed other churches so I could serve you for free. He said, the brethren at Macedonia, again and again, they have sent to my needs. Notice he says, Philippians 4, look at verse 14. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. They had just sent him a gift by the hands of a man named Epaphroditus. Now look at verse 15. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. God knows what he's doing. Through this operation, not only is it the start of the Philippian church, this became the financial base of Paul's ministry. I've studied it out for about 15 years. They were the primary financial givers. Now, he supplemented with his own income. You know, he made tents and things, okay? But this church right here was the primary financial supporters of Paul's ministry. He didn't go there for that reason, but I think Jesus sent him there for that reason. Amen? And he tells them, he says, look, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Every soul, Paul wrote in Romans, he says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach lest they be sent? He's saying to them, the fruit, every soul that's won, everybody that gets healed, every person filled with the Holy Ghost, every person that got free of a devil through the ministry where God would send me, all the fruit that has occurred is on your account just as much as it is on my account. How shall they hear without a preacher? But how shall they preach lest they be sent? God, is that good stuff or what? Can you see how important the leadership of the Holy Spirit is? What if they'd have just gone to Bithynia? What if they'd have just gone, not, excuse me, later on, they did wind up going, Paul did go to Asia, Ephesus, and he spent 2 years there, and a great mighty church was built up, and eventually Timothy became the pastor of that church, history tells us. It was a big church. But the timing of the Lord, see, I'm tired of Gary leading Gary. I do not want any more of that. I had plenty of that. In fact, Sue and I had a belly full of that by the time we got here. We had been saved and spirit-filled for 12 years. But nobody taught us how to activate that fellowship time with the Holy Spirit. We could pray in tongues, but we hardly ever did because we didn't know there was any reason to. Nobody ever taught us, you know. And we did everything. I mean, I know I could look at that first 12 years and, you know, I mean, the devil could have just led us by the nose because we just basically an opportunity would open and we'd go do that because that's what there was to do, you know. Do you know how many invitations? Okay, now you got to be careful when I say this. I have turned down way more invitations to go preach over these last 10 or 15 years than I have accepted. I turn them down almost daily, weekly anyway. Especially right now because under the current situation, I just don't feel like I should be traveling. I feel like I should be here. But what I'm saying, what if I just took them all? That's just not the mind of the Lord. It wasn't the mind of the Lord for them to go to Bithynia. It wasn't the mind of the Lord for them to go to Ephesus, not at that time. Hey, I may go to all of them. But the timing of the Lord, and I have to wait till I get, I have to wait on the Lord myself so that I know what to do. I don't want any more of this Gary leading Gary stuff. I want to be led by the Holy Ghost, which ultimately means I'm being led by the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get anything out of that? Can He lead you precisely? It is good to wait till you get more than an I felt led. I felt led. If that's all you've got, it's okay. But there's a whole lot more leadership available than I felt led. Go to a street called Straight.